Hello, folks. Welcome to Nateland. Once again, we love having you. We're gonna start off as usual. As usual. Is that right? How do you say it?
As usual.
Usual. I'm saying it wrong. Usual. Am I saying it right now? Now I've thought about it too much, and now I'll never.
Usual.
Usual.
How about like we always do?
Like just, we always do.
Just avoid it.
All right. Like we hello, folks. Like we always do. I don't understand. Whoa, folks. Hello. Goodbye. Hello. Goodbye. What does she say in Seinfeld? She says it in Bizarro World.
Oh, up is down.
Up is down.
Good is bad.
Goodbye. Like when you say this.
Bad bye.
Bad bye. Yeah. Wouldn't it be bad bye?
Yeah.
All right. First up, Joshua Lott. I just want to tell you guys how grateful my friends and I are for this show. We've all been friends since sixth grade and are still in a group chat and generally have the same sense of humor. You three hit all of our interests as far as talking about anything and everything. Thanks for being a breath of fresh air. Your podcast has helped me through some dark times. My friend Daniel Bigno listens to you guys on his way to chemo treatment every few weeks, and it brings a little added happiness to his day. Please give him a shout out so we can hear his name on here. Daniel Bigno. Daniel, we could be saying it wrong.
I think it's Bigno.
Bigno?
Yeah.
We hope it's Bigno. Might be Bino. Because it's B-E-G-N-O. So what if it's just Bino?
I think I spelled it like that.
Now he's in a downer on the way to Keene. He's like, I just turn it off. But Daniel just can't. Because it's done. I've never liked this podcast. And Joshua's like, Daniel, I thought. And now one of them are out of the group chat. I love that they've been friends since sixth grade and they talk that much. That's cool. My favorite thing. For people to not, you talk to the people you meet young and then you keep it rolling.
Yeah.
I love it. Zach Wright, dear Nate, Aaron, and Brumbledore. I was not expecting to love your podcast, but I do. It's hard to describe to friends, and it doesn't make sense. One guy reads Wikipedia while the other guys jump in with jokes and inaccurate facts. The third guy sits back and occasionally chimes in. I don't think that's true. Also, the guy with jokes reads comments at the beginning, but he doesn't read good. On paper, that description doesn't work, but somehow in practice, it does. I learn absolutely nothing from this podcast. In fact, I think I've gotten dumber, but it's just what I need. Keep up the good works, guys. That is a very funny. I was not expecting to love your podcast, but I do. It'd be a very funny way to, if you go on a first date, you know, and you tell a girl, your pictures look horrible, but I'll be honest with you, not that bad. When I see you in person, you look all right. I like all that. I'm fine with all that
stuff. Yeah, he's right on with all of it.
He's right on. None of this makes sense.
Every time we post a clip on Twitter, I'm just afraid they're going to put a disclaimer saying that none of this stuff.
None of this is fact checked.
It's fact. Oh, it makes sense. We're just going to get banned.
We read it on Wikipedia where everybody gets to put their voice in. Lamin Salah. Layman. Lamin Salah.
He'd turn around.
Easily. Maybe she would. Please do a live Q&A. Maybe substitute for the comment reading. And if it's not too much trouble, notify me so I won't miss it. Thanks. Lamin, we will be sure to get on it. We'll text him.
You'll be the first one to know.
Give a heads up. A live Q&A. That would not be bad.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, we do just take real questions.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just describing what live Q&A means in case someone's at home going, what does that mean? So take questions live.
And answers. That's the A part.
Oh. I thought it was questions and ask. Kevin G doesn't want to give too much up. The dynamics of the trio feels like an order for Nate to hang out with his buddy Aaron. His parents made him bring his little brother, Bottomless Mimosa Bates, who every now and then makes his way into the conversation. Can't get enough of this educational podcast. We are on the educational podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. One person thought Brian was Nate's dad, and Kevin G says Bates is like your little brother. How does that make you feel?
It's a Benjamin Button situation. So we're about to make that pass. We're about to make the pass where it's going to start making sense.
Right.
It's real close.
I was talking to Nate last night, and we were talking about the podcast, and he's like, you know, like, I'm the guy that people say doesn't know how to read, and you're the old guy, and Aaron's the fat guy. And I was wait a second. You're the one saying that about us.
I don't say that. That's what people are picking up from the
picking
podcast.
Picking up, yes, from
I'm someone. Not saying it. You think I'm saying that you're the, you know, I don't know. You, I mean, you're the old guy. That's factual. That's the only factual thing we have on this podcast. I don't know how to read. And I think we know where the rest goes.
But it kind of sounded like Michael Scott when he went to that seminar where he, the other branches where how he remembers people's names.
Yeah. Yeah.
Noel. Fatty. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
James Miller. Is Brian the only one of you three that does any show prep? Nate strolls in there and can hardly remember to open his own show with "Hello, folks." And every time Nate states what episode he is recording, he is wrong. Aaron, on the other hand, reminds me of a friend of mine in high school who was always high and would just start laughing at something and then not tell anyone what was so funny. The only show prep that Aaron does is trying to figure out what hat to wear. They always say you're only as good as the people you surround yourself with. And this is a shining example of that, because if Brian ever takes a week off, then Nate and Aaron are in big trouble.
Boom. Thank you, James. That's
true. It's your favorite comment you've ever gotten.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't do... The point of this is I don't want to do show prep for this. You know, what I bring to the table is the multiple Netflix specials and stuff like that. So I thought that was understood of just, you know... But I guess that's not enough. I guess we got to bring a little bit more to that. Why are you here, James? You're here because of Brian. You saw him at Zany's.
I wish.
I mean, James Miller is... How I bet James Miller's got to be older than you.
I love him.
In my head, that's what I picture. Like, it feels like a defending... Why are y'all messing with that young guy right there? Yeah. No. James is right. Brian does do all the work. Yeah. All the setup of all the information. And Aaron does, it's not much.
The hat.
He does bring a hat.
Yep.
That's fun. Yeah. Now a hat of a different podcast.
I didn't even think about
what
that.
What is it?
Yeah, you didn't Sorry. Think? Water Champ, it's Segura's podcast. It's his favorite podcast. James Frederick. Has Bill Gates been listening to this podcast? He wants to dim the sun. Great work, folks.
Yeah.
That's what he wants to do.
Yeah, he's on board with it.
Yeah, if you're a billionaire and you... can afford and do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. Yeah, your ideas are going to get pretty wild.
Right.
That you just go, what if we dim the sun? It's because it's a guy that's, you know, why don't we have a grocery store in my house? And they're like, oh, we'll get one. Like, I mean, he could say that.
Yeah.
I don't want to go to the grocery store. Can we do one in the house? And they're like, yeah, of course. Uh-huh. That's, you know.
If Bill Gates is listening to this, the world is in trouble. That's all I have to say.
What if he needs a break from being Bill Gates?
From curing polio and stuff?
Yeah.
You just need an escape.
I mean, it's a lot. You know?
It is probably a lot, yeah.
Just you need tap just out like, every now and then. Yeah, just you, yeah. Does he ever get any just moment to, you know? I mean, the world problems, or yeah. I mean, you know, you have that much money, you know. All right, I don't know, but he's probably not. Kate, C-A-T-E, Kate, could be Kate. I listened to a stand-up album where the comedian got annoyed at the audience for laughing during the setup of the joke. Do any of you get annoyed when the audience laughs at the wrong part? I don't get annoyed when they laugh at the wrong part. I always think that's pretty good that I got to laugh off of this part I wasn't expecting to get a laugh off. So I'm excited about sometimes. I don't. So the one thing I can tell is if I feel like they're not really following and they're only laughing at kind of the big parts, but not the little kind of in little jokes that are sprinkled in. I don't get annoyed, but I can just tell like. That show's going to be, they're going to laugh quicker. They're not laughing at everything. It's not going to be as drawn. Like, you know, laughs are, if we always talk about like a quick laugh, an audience can have a quick laugh where they go, ha, and then they all stop kind of very fast. And that same material, if you have a good rolling where people are laughing super hard, that material could be an hour and a half. And then if they're quick laughers, you could do that same amount of material in 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Pretty crazy.
Wow.
And so sometimes you just know that, all right, this is going to be a pretty, we always say it's kind of a tight crowd, is what a lot of comics say. And so we just know like, hey, this crowd's kind of tight and you're going to have to either be real comfortable with silence more than usual, mm-hmm. You got to just kind of pound them and just like stay on top of them. And then the shows, you try to make it be an hour instead mm-hmm. of whatever it was. Matt Curry. Nate, your story about the open micer with the ponytail reminds me of a buddy of mine, also an open micer. He had a super long goatee for a while and had a couple jokes about it. I'm pretty sure in one of them, he'd put it on his arm and say, look, Robin Williams, arm. I said that wrong. He'd put it on his arm, the goatee on his arm, and say, look, Robin Williams' arm. At a certain point, he shaved it. But for at least a few months after that, he carried around in a Ziploc bag to Mike's and pull it out to do the jokes.
Dude.
Yeah, that's, I mean, you're in the wrong business.
That sounds like somebody you'd see in an open mic.
Yeah.
And it's always good to be reminded there are crazy people everywhere.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You got a goatee.
I mean, that's
you know.
Insane behavior.
You're just sitting there and you're like, I'm just doing 5 minutes. Like, oh, we need you to do 10. It's like, all right, I guess I got to pull it out. And he pulls out his goatee.
He's on the way out the door. He's like, got my wallet, keys. Where's my hair?
Where's my hair? Goatee hair. My beard. Yeah, that seems crazy. But yeah, that's why open mics are great. That's why some people should go to open mics. You're going to see some guy. I'm not, maybe this person turned out to be great. A lot of comics start off doing weird stuff and they become great. But people should go to open mics because you got to go it with the attitude of like, look, it's not a regular show. So you're not going to see Chris Rock and don't expect a lot, but expect the insanity.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's what's, if you like seeing a train wreck, an open mic's about the best place for you to go. It's better than music. It's better than anything because it's just, you know, music is like, I mean, maybe someone can be bad, but if they play a song you like, you can sing along with it. Uh-huh. I mean, it's just, dude, it's great.
It really is. You're going to see some crazies.
You're going to see, some pretty wild stuff.
But all the people you like started there, so you never know who you're going to see.
Yeah.
You're going to see some really good people. And that's even... I think it would help us as comedians if people went to open mics and they could see, here's the difference of when someone gets really good versus how bad someone is. You're going to notice it in that show. You're going to see someone, you're like, that guy, I kind of remember that guy. That guy was pretty good, you know, or whatever. And then you're like, those other people were, it was terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you're a normal person that comes to an open mic just to watch, like, comics will be so appreciative of you. It's like, oh man, we got a real, there are real people.
Just real people.
Yeah. We can treat it like a real show. Yeah. It's not just
inmates
running the asylum.
Yeah.
You know?
And you're going to sit there. Yeah. Just go and, you know, don't be a problem. Don't yell anything. But just go if you want to, you know, see how long you can stick. how long can you make it? Because if there's a real crowd, then everybody wants to go up.
This is the time of year when the fantasy football losers show up to.
Yeah, a lot of that, huh?
Yeah,
it's like the bachelor party.
Less than that now, just because COVID. COVID.
That's true.
Full of them.
But they bring their buddies with them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's actually people like it. And as long as if you're hearing this, and that is one of your things, is the loser has to go do an open mic. The other guys, look, you can go cheer on your buddy, but like try to go at least be realist. Like you know, don't just ruin the show by thinking it's just you.
Yeah,
there's actually guys that are there that are trying it, and your buddy's going to really try it. So let you know, just be like, yeah, man, you got to go give it your best. And that person that's you know, the one that lost that, go give it your best because maybe it's your thing.
Yeah,
maybe you love it. I wonder how many actually come back.
I've never seen
none that I've seen.
Yeah,
yeah,
including their friends.
Yeah, they well,
they usually leave as soon as that person's done.
That's why I put them up at the end.
Yeah.
That's what I did. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of times they go up last.
I ran a show right across from Vanderbilt at the that beach bar.
Mm-hmm.
And there'd always be Vanderbilt kids that would walk over. You put them up last. So I didn't have to stay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're on to you. That's what comedians, we know. When a regular person comes in, that's at an open mic, we don't have any money. We have nothing. That's all we got is a live audience member that's not a comedian. So we... I mean, it is like a rush to try to be like, let me on.
Yeah.
And then you got to try to, like, other guys got to get on that are really funny. And, like, you got to try to, you know, then you get to see. I mean, it's a regular crowd. You walk into an open mic, you can change the whole show.
Yeah.
Because once you sit down and you're normal, then the comics that have been doing it for a while are going to go up. And, like, it's going to be like, oh, let's go. The order changes.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Everybody gets a little more proper. Like everybody, you know, and it's
we're gonna try tonight.
You gotta really do it.
Yeah.
Which is good which really helps the comedians. Adam, ordering a glass of milk at a restaurant on a first date, power move or just off-putting? Love the podcast, boys. Ordering a glass of milk at a restaurant on a first date. It's off-putting. I don't understand.
He's asking, is that a cool move for the first date? Yeah. Or is that going to just turn the girl off?
I have a power move because my bones are strong.
Well, is it a cool move to impress?
You let her know? I got strong bones. No, it's got to be off-putting. It would be off-putting if you did it with your best friend.
Yeah.
I'm off-put by hearing that you're thinking about doing this. You don't order, you know who orders milk at a restaurant? My 8-year-old daughter. And you think she wants milk at the table? No, she wants a Sprite. And she only gets to get milk because Laura makes her get milk. I mean, if she's with me, I always end up getting her, she gets chocolate milk or something. I fold under pressure. But I mean, on a date, ordering milk. I mean, look, if you are, maybe it sticks out in their head. If you're like, wait, you better have something behind this. You better be able to go on a rant.
If you're relying on that to like shake things up, you got problems.
I mean, it is a power move, but it's probably not going to lead to a
power,
second date.
I don't know if it's a power move. It's not a power move. I mean, that would be, you know, pulling your goatee out of a bag would be a power move. And that might be the same guy. That's what he's going to go do. It'd be better just to talk about, I thought about, what if I ordered milk? That would be better.
That'd be funny.
Just going, I thought about ordering milk. And then
can I get a milk? Nah, just kidding. I'll get a something like that. Yeah. She's gonna tell that story to her friends for years.
Yeah. Yeah. If you don't like her, maybe order milk. If you want out. That would be actually that is a good
if you're now trying to tank the date.
Yeah, you're like, this is not gonna work. Can I get a couple milks? One backup.
You order one for her?
Yeah. You want? I mean, I'll we're taking milk, please. Billy Dempsey. Hello, folks. I was thinking about your Krispy Kreme challenge and couldn't remember if you had heard of the Krispy Kreme challenge in Raleigh, North Carolina. Runners run 2.5 miles to a Krispy Kreme. They are given a dozen donuts to eat and then must run another 2.5 miles all in 1 hour. The only reason I've heard about that, a buddy of mine that I've golfed with, Jeff Carpenter, has done this. He's a real in-shape dude. And that's who does stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm going to walk to those Krispy Kremes, and I'm going to eat a dozen, and then I'll probably eat them as I walk to the next. But that's a lot. It makes it, it's fun, I guess. It makes it something different. You know, those good people eat it, and they feel like they run it off. Mm-hmm. Have y'all heard of it?
I have.
I've heard of one. Like, I had a friend that did one where
you got tricked into it with, they go, maybe you want some Krispy Kremes? You're like, yeah, dude, I would love some.
Oh, there's one about 2.5 miles away. All right. Oh, I'll drive?
Yeah.
No, we're not driving.
No. It's all blocked off.
Now, I saw it ESPN 30 for, not a 30 for 30, but.
Yeah. Is that serious?
What if I told you you could have a dozen donuts, Aaron, if you just walk this way?
A little segment about it on the Sports Center.
Yeah. What were you saying?
I had a buddy that did something similar where you drink like a certain amount of beers.
Yeah.
And then you have to run a mile.
Yeah.
But you're kind of buzzed.
Yeah.
No.
That would be something crazy. You get to get drunk. That's, it's pretty fun. You add some, heavy machinery into the, you drink a couple beers, NyQuil, then drive a bulldozer. You're like, oh, okay, I'll try it. Meredith Caldwell. When I was in college, I would use a different email every month to get the month free for new users on CBS All Access. Well, apparently I forgot to cancel one of the free trials before they charged me and couldn't figure out the email and password combination. So not only could I not cancel, I couldn't watch the stuff I was paying for either. It ended up charging $6.48 to my card every month for 7 years because I kept forgetting and I didn't feel like calling them to explain why it happened. 7 years and $550 later, I canceled that card because it was stolen and they finally stopped charging me. Too bad that's all it took, or I could have done that 7 years ago. Wow, that's crazy. I mean, not to... how much money? I would love to know how much money they make on stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, how much is their business is just built on just, you're not going to call, I dare you to call and cancel. Mm-hmm. They offer it to go, no, it's free. Cancel whenever you want. Mm-hmm. I mean, Planet Fitness is doing that where they're cancel whenever you want.
Yep.
yeah, go ahead. And you go, all right, I'll show you. And they go, show me, show me.
Mm-hmm.
And then they watch you walk to their van and drive off, and they go, we'll never see that guy again. But we got his money.
Sucker.
Yeah. It's a loser. We got his money. All right. So this week, this is a, we've pre-recorded this. Just so if you're watching this, Laura left me. no, she's still here. But so we wanted to record one that we've been asked about a lot. We talked about it a long time ago. People brought it up, and I'm interested in it. Is the Middle Ages something that I don't know if I know anything about them.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny that it says Middle Ages because it's, I mean, it seems like there's an end, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like there would be an end time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm middle aged, right? 40,
mm-hmm.
middle age, 41. He's not middle aged.
No.
Close, 30s, 30 middle aged.
Yeah.
Depends close. Depends on what your life expectancy
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're, I mean, back half with the gout thing. You know,
I'm over the hill, man.
No, you're not middle ages. No. Your foot is.
So you're saying we can call them the Middle Ages for now, but thousands of years ago, it won't make any sense to call them that. In the future, thousands of years in the future, I mean.
Yeah, because it's, I mean, yeah, because there's other ages. Is that, do they say ages or?
Yeah, it really doesn't make sense to call it that now, but.
Yeah, it doesn't fit in the time now.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't fit into it, you know. Are you middle ages?
I mean, I thought about this the other day. I'll be 50 later this year.
Yeah.
The average life expectancy is around mid to late 70s. Well, I'm almost two-thirds of the way done.
Yeah.
Oh, you can't start doing that.
Yeah.
You can't start doing the math.
No, it's fine. Let them do it. Someone's got to do it, you know? Everybody was doing it in their head to begin with, so it's like, why not, you know?
I mean, to be truly middle-aged means I'd have to live to be 98
right yeah. now. Yeah.
It's not without.
Not crazy.
No.
It's not crazy with the technology mm-hmm. we're having.
Do you want to live that long? 98?
If I'm healthy?
Yeah. Who goes, that's enough? I know people do that as jokes.
Your grandmother, right?
Yeah, I know. If you get to a certain point where everybody in your life has died, you're just like, all right, I'm about ready.
Yeah.
You know?
I think. I know comics do it as jokes where you go, you can say that, but I just can't imagine unless you lived a horrific life.
Yeah.
And it's, if you're in tremendous pain or mm-hmm. you're going through something like that, that's the only reason. And I mean, I think that they feel bad. Otherwise I think, and no one really has a, you know, you're not going to hit a number and go, that's good.
Yeah, I think
you'd want to be 100.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how I'd feel.
Yeah.
I want to be 100.
Larry King, a lot of old people were like, I'm ready to go. He wasn't. He was like, I do not want to die.
Yeah. He was still working.
Yeah. He said that on podcasts. And,
and
he was like, no, I don't want to go. And
wow.
He was very honest about it.
Yeah. I mean, I think you don't want to go. I think you think in general you do, but then, you know, what are you going to do? You know,
what are you gonna do, Aaron, if you die?
I don't know.
You know, schedule might fill up. It's gonna be hot down there, Aaron. You can't. That's what someone would say that knows they're going to hell. They're like, I just can't take these cold winters anymore. I'm just ready to get to it. There you go.
I just need to get warmed up.
I need to get warmed up here a little bit. So Middle Ages. I don't think I could guess the time.
Yeah. I don't think I could have either before
1300.
Yeah.
That's it?
Well, that's in there. That's a very broad range.
Big span, right? The 500 to 1500, kind of that.
We will be middle
ages. Did you look that up?
I think maybe a while ago. Yeah.
Like Tuesday?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, that's basically around 500 to 1500.
Which is a huge range.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Because think about if you back it up 500 years. 1,000 to year 2,000,
mm-hmm.
you'd be furious if everyone just lumped you in.
I know.
That one.
Well, I think we will probably be middle ages.
Yeah.
What are they going to call us? What are we?
I think we're the technology age or something like that.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of different ages. So it comes in between, the Middle Ages came in between the fall of the Roman Empire and the Renaissance.
Yeah.
And the Middle Ages is also called the medieval period. Same thing, yeah. Medieval or the Dark Ages. It's often called the Dark Ages.
Yeah, because it was dark a lot.
Yeah, it got dark very early. No, because the Romans, after the Roman Empire fell, they were like very cultural and they kept great records and they were on top of stuff. And then after that, everything kind of went into chaos. It's just known as a time there wasn't a lot of scientific advancement, not a lot of charts, not a lot of graphs.
Yeah.
You'd love it.
I might have loved the Middle Ages.
Yeah. You just thrived.
Yeah. Just been like, yeah, just not on top of you thinking like we got to get better. Yeah. It's like, no, we're good.
Yeah. The fact that they can lump in 1,000 years together tells me there wasn't a lot going on.
Yeah, and there's like early Middle Ages, late Middle Ages. Yeah. But generally speaking, Middle Ages, the Romans kept great records. They were great with stuff. And then the Dark Ages, there's just a lot of wars, just a lot of just not the best of times, plagues, stuff like that.
How long did people live then?
Life expectancy was like 30 to 35.
Yeah.
But again, there wasn't a ton of people dying at 35. It's just that so many people die in childbirth that the average...
That messed the average up.
Like one out of every five kids died.
Yeah.
I think if you get, as an adult, I think you live to like 60 or something.
Yeah.
But...
if you just make it past, it's like a turtle. Just like a turtle.
Yeah.
Odds are you're not.
If you make it out of...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the same thing.
Same thing.
So the Roman Empire basically ruled. Now we're talking about America's not even a thing yet.
Yeah.
Unless you're a Native American. So we're basically talking about Europe. And the Roman Empire basically ruled most of the known world, most of Europe, other places. Then it starts falling apart and they lose their power. And then it's kind of getting chaotic. And then the Catholic Church becomes the most powerful
That's right.
entity.
Oh, and then it began.
Yep. Yeah.
What did you guys do to just get control, you know?
Well, if you're just right about stuff, then people kind of...
That's what it was?
Yeah.
You know, I looked that up because they made everyone tithe 10%. Everybody had to tithe 10% to church. And the church wasn't...
Whether you win or not.
Yeah. Yeah. So they got all their wealth during this period. But I was trying to figure out what made them do it. Did they have an army or what? It seemed like they just guilted people.
Oh, there's probably some bloodshed going on. Yeah.
But I think a lot of it was just guilting. Do you want to go to heaven or not? You better give 10%. But the Pope became the most powerful person in the world, and the Catholic Church started kind of running things. I mean, there's kings and queens. But the Catholic Church kind of called the shots during this period.
That's pretty crazy. Southern Baptists never took off like that, you know?
You would love to. You would love to.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, you guys were, you know, we're not evil. you got to have... my parents were Catholic.
What would your Vatican be? The Southern Baptist.
Southern Baptist? Yeah, I don't know. Cracker Barrel. Probably do a lot of stuff out of there.
That's your Sistine Chapel. Yeah. Where is a Cracker Barrel.
I think that's where it gets started. Yeah. After Sunday, you go to Cracker Barrel and we get some ideas flowing. You see who can do the triangle T thing. Yeah. And if they can't, you know, if they get to 4, you're like, all right. Yeah. And you tell them about what the plan is. And if they just cheat or like they can't, they leave 8, and then you're like, all right, kind of get them out, you know. And we sit on the rocking chairs, and then we get called in, to talk to them.
That's your conclave, right?
Let the kids go look at the toy section,
Sounds fun.
Buy some unverified Vanderbilt Titans gear. They always have hats that are like just like. You know,
they always got that weasel thing attached to a ball, too. You know what I'm talking about?
No. Put your hand down harder if you don't. I mean, you just gave up.
Just disappointed, dude.
Do you ever, when you put your hand down, ever control it? Or you just let it, do you do a little drop? Are you always just a drop?
Was that hard of a drop onto the table?
Someone in Iowa heard it. So, I don't know. Let's ask them. You know? Like, that's... I like the idea though of when you drop your hand, if you just give up at the end, like you don't, when you set your hand down on stuff, there's
some people sit like that. You're supposed to sit like that. Oh, that last few seconds are just a free fall.
Yeah. The first seconds are to confirm the chair's there.
Yeah.
And then the last seconds are just let it go. Just drop.
Trust that it's there. Ugh. This is what I'm talking about, that weasel ball. You see that thing? That thing's always sitting there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then it goes around.
Yeah, that's fun. Sounds like a toy from the Middle Ages.
The weasel ball.
That's it. The Middle Ages goes, this is where you guys got to?
You call us the Dark Ages.
Yeah. We don't know what's going on, but y'all, this was y'all advanced to. You're like, well, that's a fun. It's got different colors and stuff. Who likes that toy? Is it for dogs?
Is it for dogs?
I could see that being for dogs.
Yeah, I hope it's for dogs.
Oh, I always wanted
it. What if it's not? Kid.
It is fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it rolls around. It looks like there's a little thing attached to it. I'll get it.
Okay.
There's an episode of Seinfeld where they're doing trying to do the roommate switch. And George says, do you realize in the history of Western civilization, no one has successfully accomplished the roommate switch? In the Middle Ages, you could get locked up for even suggesting it.
Yeah, yeah.
And Cherry says, there weren't roommates in the Middle Ages. And then George says, well, at some point between the year 800 and 1200, there had to be two women living together.
Yeah.
That's the Middle Ages.
That's the Middle Ages. I wonder if they did live together. Like roommates, you know, like live. You I mean you had to. I'm sure there was families and tribes. And
So the system was basically feudalism, which was peasants that worked land of some lord of the manor.
Serfs, right?
Yep. And then the ruler, the nobleman, the lord, or whatever, would let them live on that land in return.
Yeah.
So they'd raise crops. They'd do all the work. He'd make the money off the crops. Yeah. In return, they get to live there. And that was kind of that's what almost everybody
did. It's kind of the operation when I have my house.
What do you mean?
Same idea. I don't know, but same philosophies. I like what they're talking about.
Yeah. I can get on board with this feudalism thing, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this was like any movie, you guys didn't watch Game of Thrones,
no.
Which is a fictional world, but kings, queens, knights, jesters.
Dragons.
No dragons, but
maybe.
Well, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wasn't there. I can't prove there wasn't.
Could have been.
Could have been.
Well,
a couple dinosaurs still walking around.
Is that do we think dragons are dinosaurs?
No, I don't know.
Komodo dragons.
Komodo dragons.
Ooh, that's a good one. That's technically a dinosaur.
Well, I didn't mean to get off on that, but court jesters. Court jesters were the original comedians.
Yeah, what were they all about?
So they were also called licensed fools.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they weren't like, they were actually held in high esteem to some degree. They weren't just licensed fools.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The king liked them. They could make jokes about the king that no one else could make and get away with it.
Yeah.
They warmed up the crowd. They wore the bright outfits like you imagine with the crazy hat and stuff like that. Yeah. But they juggled.
That's pretty good that they had to do a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good that they, almost like the kings knew, like, I got to let some release of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do that, then you can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Like, if I make fun of myself, I know it's crazy.
Yeah.
You can't. I know, you know, all right, we cut your aunt's head off. I get it. I get that you're upset, but you know, and then as you do it, and you're like, and then you're like, yeah, well, your mom's head's off, too, by the way. And this, I figured this was the time to tell you,
yeah,
because I think they cut people's heads off all the time during this.
They did,
I think that
lot.
Was regular. You just see that.
That's just how you died back then.
Yeah.
Well, they had
didn't die as a baby.
They had executioners for sure.
Yeah.
And if they didn't cut your head off, a lot of hangings, a lot of public hangings going on.
Mm.
But the court jester also gave people bad news. Like the king, they often had to give the king the bad news because it was like, you break it to him and do it in a funny way. So there's an example.
He goes, pick a card. Pick a card. Pick a card. There's other guards outside the door. Pick a card. You go. Your wife was kidnapped. Two? Did you pick a two? That's just what he's just trying to go. Hey, what's that?
Yeah.
Your wife's been kidnapped. But that was the right card, right? And he's like, that's pretty good.
France's complete naval fleet got completely destroyed by the English, and the jester had to go tell the France's king that their navy was completely destroyed, all their ships destroyed. So he told the king, those English don't even have the guts to jump into the water like our guys do. That was his joke.
Just to soften the ground a little bit.
Yeah,
that was his big joke.
I would like to say,
All our guys are now floating dead in the water. Those guys are afraid to get wet.
So do you think the Jester, are they just on call in the castle at all times? Just like, I'm here to just...
But your on call has some leeway because I think you is on a phone, so you got to go chase them down. And so you're, you know, it's not like like now on call is like you're straight up within seconds you're alerted.
Yeah,
but you might have a week head start. You're on call, but a week, you know.
Yeah, there was an example of a young. I mean, sometimes babies were born as kings, and there was a young teenage king, and he never read any of the royal decree. He signed papers, didn't even know what he was signing, the documents. So the Jester wrote a royal
decree. I'm listening. All right.
The Jester wrote a royal decree that made himself ruler of all of Scotland for 15 days, and the king signed it without looking.
He tricked a baby into signing?
No, this was a teenager.
Yeah. Still.
After this, the king never again signed a document without
it was a baby.
Reading it carefully. And the baby signed
The baby signed is a two-year-old. Can you believe that? He tricked the two-year-old.
But my favorite Jester was Roland the Farter.
What did he do?
He was a well, let me tell you. He was a medieval flatulist who lived
Flatulist.
Hold on. That was the reminds me of what's the Craig what's that movie with Craig Robinson?
Time.
Yeah, it's like time
Hot
Tub Time Machine. So Greg Robinson's hosting Last Comic Standing, Greg Giraldo, one of the greatest comedians ever, who passed away. But he's hosted it, and then Greg Robinson tells me, he goes, oh, I got a new movie out. It's called Hot Tub Time Machine. Greg Giraldo goes, what's that about? It was like a very funny, quick, that was a very extremely funny thing to do. They did it on, it was on TV.
Yeah.
Oh, what was that? What's the Hot Tub Time Machine about? like, well, it's a hot tub. All right.
Well, Roland the Farter was a medieval flatulist, lived in England. He was given 30 acres of land in return for his service as jester for King Henry II. Each year, he was obliged to perform one jump, one whistle, and one fart for the king's Christmas party. Yeah.
One jump?
He had to do them all at the same time.
A jump, a whistle,
and a fart.
So he had to, like, just jump in the air?
Whistle and fart all at the same time.
Like, do exactly what you're saying. So just do a jump in the air, whistle and fart. I think we got a new Krispy Kreme challenge. I mean, this is, I would love to just be around him leading up to that week. Yeah. What's he eating? He's just eating with the horses. He's just, like,
practicing
in the barn.
That's got to be harder than it looks.
Yeah.
But he had
I think a lot of older guys do it on accident. I think they do all those things. I think my dad can do it.
Yeah. Just tell an old man to try to jump and then it'll happen.
Yeah. If you go just jump, all of those other things will.
We'll try to whistle.
Yeah.
So this is just this king. This was just his thing, man. He just thought this was the funniest thing in the
his
world.
His whole party did. Every year you do a Christmas party.
I mean, still doing pretty good.
Call Roland the Farter. Is he available? Man,
y'all got to see this
Did
guy
they have, it said Christmas? Like they did Christmas?
Yeah.
And then the Christmas party. That's all he did. They get paid?
He got 30 acres of land.
Yeah. And then they just grew their own food and stuff.
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah. The money wasn't really.
I mean, they had money. I don't know. How all that?
How much should he have been paid?
This was 12th century England, you know? This is the year 1100.
To fart.
To do it. Well, I mean, if the main guy wants it, the money's doesn't. You know, 30 acres.
It's a lot.
It's a lot
of land. Yeah.
It's a lot of land. But I mean, you're in the Middle Ages of just nothing around. Like that might not be a lot of land. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I mean, there's America's. No one's over here, but the Native Americans. There's a lot of claim land. Mm-hmm. Here's 30 acres.
Yeah. This is in England.
In England.
Yeah.
And then you got, I hope it's in a good spot.
I hope those people are watching. I mean, that's pretty fast. What if you're in the bathroom? You're like, oh, I missed it.
Yeah.
Can you do it again?
Yeah. I missed the entertainment.
Not till next year.
Yeah.
Funny to me, like, he has to do it all at the same time.
Yeah. Well, that's what makes it hard. We can all do the other three.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like, what's Roland doing this year? Same thing he did last year. Dude.
Yeah.
Same act. Yeah. Nate's, I can tell the wheels are turning. You're thinking, could we do that?
I can't whistle, so I'm out right away. But I'd make up for it.
Yeah. And when you jumped in the other thing, I'll bring in the whistle. Be like,
Each one of us could do one of the things.
Oh man!
So you think they tell him like 5 minutes? They're like 5 minutes of showtime. He's like, right. And he asks everybody to leave his green room. He's like, do you guys mind getting out? And then he's just like, I just need some time to just gather my thoughts a little. Like he's like, you know, it's like, all right, man, have a good show. He's like, I appreciate it. You know, thanks, man. Yeah. And then he's just jump whistle. JWF, JWF, JWF. And then he goes out there and jump. And, he goes, ah, and they just shoot him. I don't know if they had guns, but they shoot him and they publicly hang him. And the king's like, how's he not get it? It's funny. You got to do that. It is the, do you do the fart as the land? Could be the land.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And maybe that's the, you know, you're like, ah, what order are you going to go in? He's like, I guess you better be there. Yeah. I guess you better show up and see because I got something nice and planned. Yeah. Yeah, well, he's eating a big turkey leg, you know. It's just like,
what order are you doing? I'm gonna feel the crowd out.
Yeah, see, I'm not completely sure. There's not a microphone.
Mm-hmm. I think maybe you jump off a table or something, get a little. What if it didn't
make
air time?
What if it didn't make noise? And then he's got to be like, I swear I did it. And he goes, I didn't. And then someone has to walk over and they're like,
come here.
He goes, nah, he did it. He did it. Yeah, he did it. He goes, I told you. And he goes, and the king's like, all right, technically, like he's just kind of putting a hard. He's like, all right. This is a lot of questions. If I could go back in time, I would maybe ask these. I would want to go. I'd walk right to the king first.
Yeah.
Or the court jester and be like, so what's. You know what happened?
How did he sell the show to the king? Did the king just see him do it, you think?
I don't think there was a lot going on back then. I mean, yeah. I think these were three of the main things people do.
I mean, I'm out.
These were jumping, whistling, and farting were like, I mean, that's...
I think there's a picture of it.
That's entertainment.
Yeah. Wait, what?
Of Roland the Farter. You just want to see what the guy looked like.
Well, it's probably a painting, right?
Yeah. But
that's a regular picture.
Oh, yeah. All right. Yeah, now I get it more. He is oh geez. There's some a little too in detail drawings of our boy Roland.
Wow.
He was a legend.
He was. Hmm. That's incredible. You think that was I'm just wondering
how long was he a gesture?
I don't know. Let's see what his age was right up. Yeah.
The Roland the Farter. He has a Wikipedia page. Oh. It's more than I got.
Oh, it doesn't have his age on there, does it?
Yeah.
One jump, one whistle, one fart for the king's court at Christmas.
Unum saltum et servetum.
That's how they said it.
Yeah, that's
just. Each year he had to do an unum saltum et stiftum et unum
bumbulum.
Bumbulum. And then the bumbleum, you're like, all right, I get the bumbleum. What's the other stuff? That's how the bumbleum kind of makes sense. You're like, okay, I understand that. But what's the other stuff? Jump and a whistle. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm.
That says he was giving Hemingstone Manor. So he was given a manor.
Yeah.
For his work.
Wow. Wow.
I love you just brushed over flatulist like that's a real job title. Or
well,
like
I mean, it was then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Flatulist. Wow.
Yeah. Mm. He's there. If you're, are there flatulists now? Like, is that a regular job? Look up and see if it's a regular job. Cause I mean, this might be the, you know, is this like their Richard Pryor? If you're in the flatulist world,
you got a list of notable flatulists.
Yeah. It's a small list.
There's Mr. Methane. He's a contemporary flatulist. Yeah. You got Roland the Farter's kind of the, he's like the Carlin of the, and then Will the Farter,
Howard Stern show. Yeah. 2007 to, 2008. That's it.
So it was huge in the, you know, in the Middle Ages. And then Will the Farter brought it back.
Le Petome, he performed in France from 1887 until 1914. That's a long time.
Then it finally got old.
And but everybody asked his wife, does he just do it all the time at home? She goes, no, not as much as you would think. It's like he doesn't. Same questions y'all asked Laura. Is he funny all the time? He's like, no, I mean, he doesn't. He eats pretty healthy at home. He's pretty, you know.
So you're thinking that you're 1915?
Well, who's Mr. Methane?
Mr. Methane, contemporary flatulist.
1991.
Yeah. He briefly retired in 2006, but restarted in mid-2007. I'm back in it.
Yeah.
Just when they pull me out.
He got bored.
He claims to be the only performing farter in the world. Mm. Good for him. He worked on the railways before focusing on this.
Well, anyway, I got a lot of stuff here on the middle
on it. He was able to focus on it the whole He was able to focus on it the whole time. On the railways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He worked on the railroad.
Like, he's like, I didn't take it seriously. He was like, oh, were you doing it? He's like, oh, yeah, dude. I was doing it. You know, I've been doing it the whole time. I just, you know.
Another big thing in the King's Court was dwarfs, court dwarfs. And so jesters were only part-time employees. Court dwarfs were, like, permanent in the King's Court. There was the personal dwarf and the chamber dwarf and the court dwarf. And the king liked them sitting next to him because it made the king look much larger and it made his power position look more powerful.
Mm-hmm.
So so dwarfs lived lives of privilege in that time. They got good money, benefits, it says.
What is the benefits?
I mean, protection, maybe.
Health insurance.
Yeah, probably protection. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's like real legit benefits.
Yeah, 401k.
Protection and food. You know, it's like, dentist, someone knocks your tooth out with a hammer. And he's like, it's free. You're like, thanks, man. He's just bleeding from the mouth. And the benefits paid for that.
A favorite dwarf of Peter the Great received a state funeral, including miniature horses and a small priest.
Hmm. Oh. Feels nice. Like they didn't need to do that. They could have just given him a regular priest.
Well, it's probably. They're watching a guy whistle and jump and fart. I mean, I don't think they're above anything. You know, like I don't.
That's a little on the nose to use miniature horses to carry his body.
I don't think they were. Yeah. Imagine them telling some of the problems we've had here now. These people that like they would. They wouldn't even understand. They'd be like, what? Like, you're just whatever typical stuff we have where you're like, that guy says mean stuff a lot. And they're like, oh, okay.
Archery became a big thing in that time just for protection because during wars and stuff like that. So the king made, in England at least, a requirement. Every Sunday, men had to practice archery every Sunday just to become good archers.
Yeah, I mean, that's such a tough way to fight a battle. I mean, you're just going to get hit. Mm-hmm. You're like, it's no fun.
Mm-hmm.
An arrow.
And this isn't like even just like up close. This is when they launch from long distances and it just comes down and hits you.
And it's a slow, like you see it coming, you're trying to run, but there's 15 of them.
Yeah. So then golf was invented.
In
Scotland, and it became such a problem because everyone was playing that the king decreed no one can play golf because they need to practice their archery.
Wow.
Everyone was playing golf on Sundays. He actually outruled golf and football, soccer, during that time.
There's a Robin Williams has a joke about golf starting.
Creating it.
Yeah, creating it.
Very Scotland, funny. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But then that was King James II. King James IV lifted the ban about 50 years later because he became a golfer himself.
Wow.
And he got addicted to it. And he had the first set of special make clubs made by a bow maker, made him a set of clubs.
Big Bertha?
I don't think so.
No. Big Bertha's are now.
No, I know.
Big Bertha sounds like it could be. That was his wife that hated that he golfed that day. Big Bertha. He goes, you going to get a play today? I can play nine. Big Bertha. You imagine Big Bertha's on my case about.
So this was in 1502 when he got the clubs.
Would they play 18 holes?
I don't think so. St. Andrews is the oldest course, and that opened in 1574. That's a links course.
That was past the Middle Ages. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true.
There's some old school golf, man.
Yeah.
The ball was made of wood.
Yeah. Just hidden into a hole.
What about his swing there? What do you think about that?
Compared to mine. It's not good. He's going to have to shift all that weight over.
Yeah.
So Bates swing. Bates hits the ball.
That's me, by the way.
And then finishes the swing.
So what do you mean?
The ball is hit, and then he gets into the proper release form.
That back foot I lift.
So he lifts it back. So his ball is 100 yards away from him, and then he lifts his back foot up. It's almost like the way like a gymnast lands, and then they like, yeah. But they gather their thoughts. Uh-huh. Like that's how the video of Bates, yeah, it's pretty great.
Yeah.
Because it's the ball's gone.
Yeah.
And then the back, and then like you just see something in the back of his head go, right foot. And he goes, and then he lifts it. But I mean, it's, I'm already, you could already be putting a tee down.
Yeah.
And like the other guy's already about to hit.
Ah, look at that. All right.
Yeah.
So also during the Middle Ages, Islam started.
Mm-hmm.
Muhammad lived during the Middle Ages. He started Islam in Mecca, became a obviously a major religion. At its height, it was 3 times bigger than all of Christianity.
Mm-hmm. Can't joke about that, so let's move on.
All right. The only reason I tell that is because that's when the... The Crusade started. You guys heard of the Crusades?
Yeah.
Just in general. Yeah, I've heard some stuff.
Yeah.
I've heard it mentioned.
That was basically wars that went on for years and years and years between Christians and Muslims because the Catholic Church wanted to take back the Holy Lands. And so,
well, I'm glad they figured that out.
Glad they got that all sorted out, dude.
Yeah. Can you imagine they still, if someone from the Middle Ages shows up today, y'all are still fighting? And you're like, yeah, dude, I don't know. We're just always going to keep doing it.
I mean, it's basically true. The Knights Templar was a group of devout Christians that fought to allow people to visit the Holy Lands, travelers, and they became fierce fighters during the Crusades. Some people say they went underground 700 years ago and still exist today.
Yeah, what are they still doing?
So how old would they be?
No, not the actual.
I think they just meant
the order, not
new
the
members,
not
yeah.
the people. They'd be pretty old.
You think they want to die? I mean, then they wake up every morning and go, come on. What am I, 1,200 years old?
Yeah. Let me give you some people from the Middle Ages. Two out of these five aren't real. See if you guys can guess which ones aren't real.
Did you go to school with any of them?
That's why I removed myself from this.
One of them is going to be Brian Bates. And like, well, that's real. Okay.
Joan of Arc, King Arthur, Robin Hood, William Wallace, that's who Mel Gibson played in Braveheart, and Marco Polo.
Okay.
Who's not real?
Two of those five probably aren't real.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would almost say Robin Hood, I don't think is real. And then
I think he's based on a reel. It's almost like they're Paul Bunyan over there.
I would go Robin Hood and William Wallace, not real.
William Wallace is for sure a real person.
Not as Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson's real too.
I guess if technically, right. Then yeah, I guess he is.
But well, yeah, William Wallace is a real guy. Joan of Arc was definitely real. I think maybe King Arthur. That's my sleeper pick. King Arthur, not based on a reel.
And who else?
Real person. What are the other ones?
Robin Hood and Joan.
Marco Polo.
Marco Polo. Marco Polo is real. So, yeah, we'll do Robin Hood and King Arthur.
You're correct.
There we go.
I mean, they are based maybe on some real people, but they're...
I thought about Braveheart was like, that was like kind of like a, I thought it had been a made-up guy.
Well, I think they dispute it, you know, because in the movie, William Wallace has a kid with the princess.
Yeah.
And that would completely taint the bloodline of English kings.
Yeah.
So Scotland claims that that's what happened. And then England's like, no, that never happened. So there's some dispute over what happened, I think.
So if I'd have watched Braveheart recently, I'd have been like, I know he's real.
They probably.
I thought it'd be, you know, where I'm hood, there's a bunch of movies.
Yeah.
I thought it was like that.
Oh, okay. Like he's almost like a little mythical figure.
Yeah. Yeah.
William Wallace was real. He used to do. Mm-hmm. He was so much more violent in real life than he is in the movie. He used to make. He used to scalp people and make belts out of their skin. Yeah, he was ruthless.
You know a lot about him.
What do you think he would during the the farting show? Do you think he would enjoy it, or would he be just no fun all the time? I mean, you think he ever was fun?
I think a lot of, I'm guessing a lot of these people that live back then, there's just very little joy in their lives because they just couldn't afford to, they just had to, they woke up and worked all day and then they went to bed.
Yeah.
And then that's pretty much it.
Yeah. And they may not know any better, so they may have found joy other ways.
Yeah.
You mentioned going to the dentist, how that was. Most people couldn't afford a doctor or a dentist, so they went to the barber. And that's how they got treated by the barber.
Like he would do all of it?
Yeah. Yeah. He would do all of it. So the barber pole, red and white barber pole, that came from red blood.
Yeah.
And like because they would do a lot of bloodletting. Bloodletting was their big go-to thing back then.
Yeah.
Which is just literally letting out some blood.
Yeah.
That's all they need to do. They're like, let's try to just get some of this
for everything, for all everything. Problems.
Let's get the blood out and see if that helps.
You know, there's times I feel like I could lose a little bit. You know, it's all in there.
You're not putting any new in, just take something out. I feel like it's a little too.
I mean, the other thing, if they was leeches for the same reason to get the blood out. They put leeches on you.
Yeah.
But the barber pole is what you gripped when they're drawing the blood out of you just to hold on to for because of the pain.
Yeah.
So that's how they knew if this barber also did dentist and medical stuff. He had a barber pole out front.
I mean, that was like pain where, you know, like now, like, when a woman gives birth, they're like, you're going to never know that pain. And I'd be like, you almost could never say that back then.
Yeah.
You get, like a woman just, it's like, I've given birth and the guy's like, are you crazy? Like I cut my hand off and I've been shot. I've been hit by 50 arrows and still walking around and then I got to go let blood out. Like every, there's, a, but not that women are going through that pain, but there's so much pain that there's just, you know, they're like, ah. It's a lot of all pain.
It's a real creepy thing to pay homage to.
You mean like now?
Modern day barbers still use those poles? It's like, you don't have to do all that.
Yeah, most people probably don't know what they symbolize.
Well, I think there's blue in them now.
There is, yeah.
And so that makes it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Had you heard.
It's all get rid of the past, Aaron. Is that what you'd rather have? Sorry.
Mr. Friendship?
Yeah.
Had you heard that. I grew up and somebody told me, hey, your blood is actually blue.
Yeah.
Until it hits air.
Until it hits air and it's red. And I believe that for a long time.
Yeah.
So and that's not true.
It's not true, apparently.
Yeah.
Do you know if it's red?
I think
or
I've
blue?
Heard of it. But I think it looks blue in your skin.
In your veins.
Because like your veins look green and you think, oh, it's blue.
Yeah.
But so I think that's totally made up.
Yeah. Mm.
Well,
yeah.
Took off.
Wow. All right. Thanks. I'm going to let that air on your on y'all's podcast, and we're going to cut it out of the Nate
we'll
Land
cover
podcast.
That on Aaron Land, I'm sure.
Aaron Land.
We'll dive into that. Dive what into color it. Is your blood, really?
Yeah.
The other thing, if you weren't doing bloodletting and leeches or couldn't go to a barber for your medical treatment.
Can you imagine not being able to afford that?
The barber?
Yeah. You're going, I'd love to kill to go to a barber. You're like, what do you do? What do I do? Throw myself down a cliff. That's like, what else could you do?
Can you imagine if he did all that to you, though, and he's like, anything else? Well, while I'm here, a little touch-up. Well, like he also does your hair.
Yeah, yeah.
He washes the blood off, and then gives you a trim.
And then just the pain of that, you're missing, that hurts worse. It probably does. You're not washing your hair. You know, are they washing your
I doubt it.
Is soap around? I mean, is there?
Well, deodorant hadn't been invented yet. I think deodorant's a very recent invention.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like the solution to a problem that nobody thought was a problem.
Yeah.
Everybody just smelled bad all the time and nobody cared. And then somebody was like, we can get rid of that. And now we all have to do it.
Yeah.
We could all just agree to not wear deodorant, you know?
Yeah, but it's a long time of like getting used to that. I don't wear deodorant that much. I wear it. I'm not the biggest sweater in the world.
Yeah.
And so, if I know I'm going to be outside, so I didn't put on deodorant today. I Did I?
We know. No,
yeah. No. No, I don't really stink. Yeah. Like, it's a, I don't.
But I'm
I,
saying it's a solution to a problem that we created.
I know. I'm saying I don't do it. Yeah, I know. I'm saying we all agree.
Yeah, I'm saying we could all agree, then you'd be, you don't even have to do it ever.
Yeah, because they, it's not good, too. They, people say it's not good to put a deodorant on. Put too much.
Yeah.
I do it when I go out, like if I'm going somewhere, but I just don't, like if I'm golfing, if I'm doing stuff during the day, I'm around the house, I'm not going to be sweating. Like, I just don't have to.
Why isn't it good?
It's, I don't, you know, whatever.
Alzheimer's?
Whatever the new rules that you can't do anything. Yeah, sure. I'm sure if something, just someone says it. I don't know the exact reasons, yeah. But just like anything, you can't do that anymore.
I put it on all the time. I put it on before I go to bed.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah, why not?
Because you got to get up and go somewhere.
Like the ER?
Yeah. Because your armpits can't breathe because they're being smothered.
I don't
want to
smell bad ever, dude.
I know. I don't. No one does, but. Mm-hmm. I mean, for someone that was just trying to get us to all not wear deodorant, to then say, I put it on when I sleep.
Look, what I'm saying.
I don't think you would go along with the deal that we made.
And I'd just be the only good smelling guy
think
in
I would
the world.
Really, you're like, Aaron always smells I'm wonderful. I'm saying,
as long as we live in this world where everybody has to wear deodorant, I'll play the game.
Yeah.
You know?
When was it invented?
The 80s? Good question. Good question. By the way, our blood is red. I looked at
it. Yeah.
I looked it up just to make sure that a bunch of blood doctors in the comments won't get mad.
All right. So another big
1910s
is deodorant.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So another big medical thing people would do is just beat themselves. They just whip themselves or have a friend whip them. They're called flagellants, not flatulence, but flagellants. I think it's how it's pronounced. And they basically thought
That's a close.
I know.
They say that I'm flagellant. You're like, oh, he goes, no. The whip. You go, oh yeah. My uncle's about to. Sorry.
They thought if they had any type of disease or sickness that God was punishing them, so they would whip themselves to try to like punish themselves for their sins, thinking God would then forgive them and heal them. And this was a big thing to just go around and publicly whip yourself for atonement for sins. And when the Black Death came to hit Europe.
I wonder if that's like someone that talks with their speakerphone now. You know, is it that annoying? Yeah. If you're just in line getting bread and then it's just, bish, and you just slap.
At Kroger?
And you're like, oh, God, yeah. You have to do it the whole time, dude. You can't not. Excuse me, sir, you can't wait. And maybe you just whip yourself outside like all of us do. You got to do it with everybody sitting here. You've hit me 3 times, and I'm in wonderful shape right now.
So the Black Death, the bubonic plague, was the worst pandemic in history.
Well, they haven't seen COVID.
This lasted for about 3 years. It killed 20 million people in Europe, 30% of the continent. Died.
I mean, that's
a third.
That's a lot of people. That's a big one.
12 ships sailed into the Black Sea in Italy, and when they arrived, they were almost all dead. The soldiers, they were oozing blood and pus, and they all died eventually. And a lot of people would just go to bed at night feeling healthy and be dead by morning.
Oh, it was that quick?
According to Wikipedia.
Wow. Yeah. What was it? It was like
the bubonic plague.
Someone's like, it's a cold. That's how someone started. What is it? A little stronger flu? And he goes, he's sweating.
Just let some blood out. Yeah. We'll be fine. It killed cows, pigs, goats, chickens, and sheep. Mm. Led to a wool shortage in Europe.
Start taking out. COVID's not taking out animals, is it?
I don't think
no.
so.
That's crazy.
So flagellants became a big thing. Everybody going around whipping themselves to try to get healthy.
Did it work?
No, it did not.
No, we're still talking about the Black Plague. So not. That's a pretty wild. That's so many people.
Yeah. A third almost.
What was it, a virus?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was rats. Didn't it start with rats?
Yeah. Scientists believe the plague started through the bite of an infected flea or rat. Both which were common in the Middle Ages, especially on ships.
They would eat rats.
a flea. That
bit a person.
Rat. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, the bit a rat that bit a person. The rat bit the person.
Either a flea or a rat. They think got it. Just like the bat.
Yeah,
they think for COVID.
Could they have ever figured that out back then?
I don't think so.
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah. How do they know?
Like, is there? Do they even? Are they just going something's up?
Yeah,
I mean, people are just dying.
Yeah,
like, do they even have any concept of like this of what a virus is back then? Probably not.
I mean, people are dying just regularly. Just like if they're during this time, during the great moments of it, people are just dead. And then so now it's like, I know it's like a rapid kind of thing.
Yeah,
but yeah,
I mean, I don't even think they would think about quarantine. I mean, I'm sure you just think I'm going to stay in my house and keep away from everybody. Mm-hmm. But I don't think you're thinking about.
Did the people that survived, the 70% that survived, were the, do you think that they just had a genetic immunity to it, or they just got lucky, I guess?
Was it?
I don't know.
Oh.
Did you stay home a lot during it? That's how you asked that question. Like, he was a part of it. You're like, did your parents? You said your aunt got it, right? And so, did y'all not see her? That's how that question is asked. It's like he was there. Like he's just,
hey, we're just two guys in our 40s.
Two guys.
Born in the 70s, graduated high school in the 90s. That's what we are. So, yeah, the Black Death was, it was bad. It was much worse. A lot of sayings came from the Middle Ages that we say today that, well, maybe you don't, but a lot of people do. Baker's Dozen.
Mm. I used to... we were talking about being a wrestler, and I would, what would I say? I'd want to be the Baker's Dozen. As that was my wrestling move. The Baker.
What is it?
I don't remember what it was. What was it? It was something like that. I was called the Baker. My wrestler, I would have been the Baker, and my move would have been the Baker's Dozen.
Okay.
You give them one more after they're done?
It would have been 12 punches and then a Stone Cold Stunner.
Oh, a 13th right on top?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I like that.
I just made that up. That part I made up right now because I don't remember what it was before. But I was the Baker. Nate the Baker. And then my buddy P, we'd call him PP the pronoun. And he would come in and teach a lesson on. I forget what his move was, but his nickname was Pete.
PP the pronoun.
PP the pronoun. Nate the Baker and PP the pronoun come in.
Can't believe they didn't take off. But basically, bakers were accused of selling underweight loaves. So legislation was put in place to make sure they didn't. So to make sure they didn't sell underweight, they would start giving an extra piece of bread away for with every loaf.
Because they were, so they had to give.
Yeah.
They had to give another one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then someone's like, I'm doing it already. And they will give an extra. Well, then they for sure probably went low.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It was almost like, oh, well, we were giving you a full, and now we're not.
Nest egg. Peasants used to collect eggs from chickens, and they would leave one egg in there to, it would encourage the chickens to continue laying eggs in the same nest. So now it's thought of as like something you keep.
Mm-hmm. Nest egg?
Yeah. A little extra money on the side, but it was done to keep an egg in there to keep the hens from, keep the hens laying eggs in that same area.
Mm. I mean, just explaining this to these people now, like, because the nest egg is, that's like retirement, right? Like,
yeah, just something insane.
Like, we talk about that. Oh, you keep a little nest egg.
Yeah, a nice little nest egg.
And they'd be like, well, that doesn't make sense because it's what it means is an actual egg.
No, we just get our eggs from the Publix,
from the store.
Yeah.
Sink or swim. This is a good one. It's a medieval practice of judging whether a person was innocent or guilty by casting him or her into a lake. The belief was that water would not accept anyone who had rejected the water of baptism. So if the victim sunk, they were innocent, but if they floated, they were guilty. So either way, you're not going to...
I mean, were people learning how to swim back then?
I think they would, like, tie you. Like, you couldn't just try to swim. Like,
oh.
They tie you up and throw you in, and if you floated, then you're guilty.
I mean, were there people floating?
Probably not.
I can float.
Huh?
You can float.
But if you're tied to something,
oh.
Not maybe you're just your arms, or like
a dunk tank,
not weighted
almost?
Down, but But you can't. I don't think swimming was allowed.
If you're looking at it going, well, one way or the other way, there has to be the other way, has to have worked, or you wouldn't be no other way. You know, mm-hmm. someone's got to go. They're going to, you know, is there not a person going, they're going to sink. Everybody sinks. Mm-hmm. You tie a boulder.
Yeah, some people must have been floating.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because then you're like, oh, okay. And one guy floats, and then they look back at him and like, oh, where are you at now? He goes, okay. Well, now I'm a little convinced.
Yeah.
Either way, you're probably going to die. You're either going to drown or found guilty, and then they'll kill you.
If they think you, or they think you're a witch anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. No one, I mean, once you get called a witch, I don't think there's much, mm-hmm. I don't think you get out of it. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't, there's no talking. There's not like, all right. Everybody's got to like kind of looking at you like, why did I even, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. You're not going to, once a witch, always a witch. Like,
you're not going to rebrand yourself.
Yeah.
Stereotyped.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was a lot of people being called witches during the Black Death, by the way. A lot of people thought that they were causing it.
Yeah.
Pay through the nose. The Vikings did this. If someone did not pay, they suffered punishment by having their nose slit.
No, wait.
It's kind of a weird, you know.
Your nose slit?
Yeah.
How?
I don't know if I want to know.
Okay.
Probably a knife.
Yeah, I know. But in what way?
Probably cut.
Voldemort type?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Vikings did whatever they wanted to do.
Yeah.
They were kind of their own. They beat at their own drum.
Mm-hmm.
Also, probably Middle Ages.
Probably so. Don't kill the messenger. I think you guys could probably figure that one out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A lot of messengers were being killed after they brought the king bad news. So finally, laws were enacted to protect messengers from such events.
Oh, that was don't kill the messenger was a law.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's like the court gesture.
Yeah.
He's like, I'll tell him.
I'll make it funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bouncers. Bouncers came from the Middle Ages.
Oh, wow.
They used to make you give a coin before you walked into a tavern.
Coin.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sorry. What did I say?
Cone. Basically cone. I don't know.
Coin.
Corn. A coin. Yeah.
Oil.
Yeah. I know. I say stuff wrong.
No, I say it like that too. Yeah. Will and wheel. People are still confused about what we're talking about.
Will and wheel.
We've done it twice, and they're like, we have no idea what you guys are talking about. A coin, you had to give at the front of the door, and the guy at the door would bounce it to see if it was real or not. And if it didn't bounce, that means it was a fake coin. Coin.
Mm. And then now we have bouncers? So the guy at the door was there to check.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now they just do with IDs.
But that's why they're called bouncers.
Yeah.
It's because
they still throw IDs at the ground to see if
that's
they're
crazy
real.
That these words stay around.
I know.
Uh-huh. This is a lot of words that you hear.
Get off your high horse. Yeah. Stuff you don't even think about.
I think of that a lot.
You think about what it means?
No, just what I add to a lot of people.
It was.
I say this one regularly. Go ahead.
During the noble times, nobles were given a taller breed of horse to ride to signify their status and authority. Often, commoners would tell each other to get off their high horse when one was acting like a nobleman.
Makes perfect sense.
I think they measure the horses, you know?
I think they're just so much bigger, you don't need to measure them. They're just like a different breed.
Oh, like the, what is the Anheuser-Busch ones?
The Clydesdales.
Clydesdales.
They could have all been on miniature horses and they wouldn't know. And then you give the nobles real horses.
Yeah. I mean, I think if someone listened to this podcast in the Middle Ages, they would turn it off. And they wouldn't even understand what they were hearing because it's technology. They would think it's magic and they would go, God, just
still bored.
They would still get
so bored with just, I mean, it'd be witchcraft. If we dump this Nate Land podcast into the 600s, they would ask, their first thing they would do is find the off button.
You want to hear this thing?
Yeah,
I'm good.
Can I give a couple more?
Yeah.
Caught you red-handed? This phrase comes from the 12th century practice of dipping a thief's hand in berry dye. The dye would soak into the skin and stain the hand for several weeks and serve as an act of public humiliation of being convicted. All who saw the redheaded person knew he was a thief and a criminal.
Wow.
You didn't get away with a lot of stuff back then.
Nope.
You know?
It was. What do you mean?
I mean, your hand's red for a month after you do something.
I know, but it was probably hard to get caught.
But if you did get caught.
They weren't going to take it easy on
you. Yeah. You're going to publicly know about it.
Right.
Xerox. That was actually a person. It was a scribe who copied a bunch of history into different languages. So the company was named after him because they're a copy company. Mm-hmm. I'll do one more here. Nate's leaning forward like, God, wrap this up. Please.
There's Xerox. Oh, man. I'd like to explain him what goes on at the real Xerox store. And he goes, where do y'all write all this stuff down? They go, oh, no. Most of us can't even write. He goes, wow.
I'll give one more. Give someone the cold shoulder. In the Middle Ages, lords and nobles were often faced with the common problem of getting rid of unwanted or obnoxious guests at feasts and gatherings. So they would serve the guest a cold shoulder of meat, the toughest and most undesirable portion of a roast. This was a symbol in giving the guest enough of a hint that he or she have overstayed their welcome.
Yeah. This looks good.
You talk about passive aggressive.
Did you guys heat? He starts just touching everybody else's. And he's like, huh. But and it would just be the guy that eats it. Yeah. Just goes, no, I love the cold shoulder. Yeah. How many of those guys were there? Just there has to be a lot of them.
Just won't.
Yeah, they go, you know what? I ask for the cold shoulder. Just the toughest part of the one. All right. Was there other? There's like a lot more.
I mean, there's a few more here. Apple of my eye.
Oh, God. I thought you meant like more other stuff besides sayings.
Oh, all right. We'll wrap it up then. Yeah.
I mean, my lord.
I thought you meant.
Oh, goodness.
Wait, what is apple in my eye? Tell me afterwards.
What is apple in my eye? You might as well say now.
The pupil of the eye was known as the apple because it was the most cherished part of the eye. Because so they
it's a big deal.
Yeah.
I mean,
we got one more. That was the worst one.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to tell him, but then I thought that's what he was asking for.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I lobbied for it, man. I was like, we'll get him back with this one, Brian.
No, I was going to hit on cold shoulder.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. When I said, is there more? I thought that meant, like, is there another, like, little fact?
All right. I'll throw out one more little fact. I just listened to what you're saying. Yeah.
We hit them all.
Valentine's Day. Started during the Middle Ages, at least the Romantic Valentine's Day that we know of. St. Valentine was a saint from much earlier, but Geoffrey Chaucer, the medieval poet, invented the holiday around 1375. He wrote a poem celebrating St. Valentine's. And then a guy in prison, Charles Duke of Orleans, wrote a letter to his wife and called her his Valentine.
Mm.
And that's how the holiday started being celebrated on February 14th.
Because that's when that letter was written?
Well, it's February 14th is known as a day when birds and humans both go in search of mates.
That's the day?
just that day?
Just that day? I guess they did back then, too? Humans? I mean, yeah. We did Middle Ages. We did it. It had some good times.
Yeah, there's a few things we learned, right?
It's a lot like the Middle Ages. Like some highlights, some highs and lows.
Highs and lows.
The Renaissance came after the Middle Ages.
Yeah.
That's when things started taking off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Paintings, culture.
That'll be our next episode. Is the Renaissance.
The Renaissance.
Right.
Da Vinci,
I would like to learn about the Renaissance. Okay. I do like hearing this stuff.
Yeah.
I do.
Oh, okay.
Some of it, but I just also think, you know, people are listening, you know? And that's where you gotta.
Yeah,
that's who you gotta think about.
Get off your high horse.
Get off your high horse. Yeah. Not trying to give the cold shoulder here, but this episode was not the apple of my eye. All right, everybody, thanks for listening, Nate Land. We will talk to you later. Thanks, everybody, for listening to the Nateland Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our show on iTunes, Spotify, you know, wherever you listen to your podcast. And please remember to leave us a rating or a comment. Nateland is produced by me, Nate Bargatze, and my wife, Laura, on the All Things Comedy Network. Recording and editing for the show is done by Genovations Consulting in partnership with Center Street Media. Thanks for tuning in. Be sure to catch us next week on the Nateland Podcast.